Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is a prayer meeting, and before we begin, I'd like to have a word of prayer, and then we'll go into the passage in the Bible and see what the Lord has for us today. Gracious, loving Father, once again, I want to lift up our hearts to you, praising you and thanking you for who you are, God of love, mercy, and compassion, who did not spare his only begotten Son, holy and righteous one, to gain the unrighteous children, sanctifying, justifying them, Father, adopting them into your family. And we are so grateful that you did so. Father, be with us as we open your word. Speak to us, encourage us, Lord, that we may live another day, another week, praising you, for you did not leave us here on this planet helpless. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the passage I have chosen today is found in Matthew chapter 16. I've entitled this, The Keys of the Kingdom. And we will read a few verses here, and then we will zero in on two of them. Beginning from verse 13 in chapter 16 of Matthew, it reads, Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, let's zero in on one verse first, verse 18. I say to you that you are Peter. Now, tell me please, what is the meaning of the Peter? Let's have some responses now. You can unmute your phone and answer. What does the word Peter mean?
Little rock.
Little stone.
Oh, thank you for giving it up. Little rock. The little rock, like the pebble. And Jesus said, And upon this rock I will build my church. Can you build a church upon a little rock?
No.
No.
Well, why are some people claiming that they can? They actually did it. You know what I mean?
Jesus is the rock.
Yeah? Yeah. Some believers thinking that Jesus is that rock, I mean, Peter is that rock upon whom the church is built. Give me a break. That's not what the Bible actually says. And now, somebody said Jesus is the rock. Okay, let's get the proof to that. We can open up a couple of verses just to prove from the scripture that those who will be listening to us in future, they will understand and learn this as well. Let's see that Jesus is that foundation, the rock. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. Who would like to read that? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. Bible has so many verses to back this up in all the New Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. Who would like to read it? Michael, maybe you?
Sure. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God.
Amen. Now, 2 Samuel 23, verse 3.
The God of Israel said, The rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God.
Okay. And 22, 32.
Say that again.
2 Samuel 22, verse 32.
For who is God besides the Lord, and who is a rock besides our God?
Oh, who is the rock besides our God? Now, there's so many verses in the Bible. Deuteronomy 32, 4, verse 15 also, 18, Isaiah 17, 10, Psalm 18, 2. This is the Old Testament. Now, in New Testament, Ephesians 2:20. Let's read it. Ephesians 2:20.
Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone.
Okay. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 to 8.
You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they were also appointed.
Okay. Now in 1 Corinthians 10:4, I'll read it. And all drank same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So do we need any more proof who is the rock, the foundation, the cornerstone? I mean, there's so many verses, for the sake of time, not going to go through all of them. So, Jesus is that rock. And upon this rock, he said to Peter, you are Peter. But upon this rock, pointing to himself, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, what is the church? Tell me. What is the church? Any description?
Believers.
Oh, really? Some people claiming it's a buildings, you know?
The body of Christ, believers.
The body of Christ is the church. It's not a building. Building is where the believers coming together to worship. So the believers, that's what the church is. And Jesus said, and I will build my church upon this rock. And then he added something profound. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now I want to hear the following, what is coming now. No matter how terrible is the assault of the enemy on you, he will never overpower you if Christ is your rock.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. No matter how terrible is the assault of the enemy on us, on the believers, he will never overpower the church if Christ is our rock. There's another good news.
Okay.
Wow, we have a great power behind us in this world. For greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And now verse 19. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Wow. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let's get the definition of the kingdom of heaven from the scripture. Let's open the Mark chapter 9 verse 1 and read it from there. Mark 9 verse 1, please.
And Jesus was saying to them, truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power.
And let's add one more. There are many scriptures, but for the sake of time, we'll shorten it too. 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power.
Now, based on this, just two scriptures, give me the one of the definition of the kingdom of heaven. Based on this, just two scriptures, what is the kingdom of heaven? Is the kingdom of what?
Truth and power.
The power. Based on the scriptures, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of power. And Jesus said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of power. And if I would give you the keys to my home, what do you have with the keys? If you have in your hands the keys to
access.
My home,
access
to thank
everything you have.
Access to everything that I have in my house. Okay. Now another question. What has the keeper of the keys of the kingdom of heaven?
Access to all that God gave Jesus.
If it's the kingdom of power, then the keeper of the key has the access to all the power of heaven.
Authority.
Wow. Wow. You're connected actually to the powerhouse.
If we understand Jesus to be omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, then we are connected to the vine. There's nothing less than what he has to offer that is ours to receive.
Amen. So the keeper of
must have faith. We must have faith to believe and stand and agree with that. It's one thing to know it in our, but it's another thing to heartfully be transformed in faith. To believe it.
Yes. And that's why God had revealed himself, his character, through Jesus Christ. By showing his character, which is itself is the gospel for the sinful human race, that will it will encourage us to approach him and to trust him and to believe him. But without the gospel, if we only see God as punishing person for every mistake that we make, we're not going to have that faith. We will not. So that's why Jesus said this gospel will be preached to all the nations. And it's the gospel of his character. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Now, the keeper of the key has authority and power to bind and to loose. And if we look at the tense now in this verse, it is very significant that we need to know the tense. I am reading from the New American Standard Version, which is the closest to the original. And then I've been staying with one of the pastors, and we began to look up the original in Greek. And there you go. It is just there that original conveys exactly the same time tense as in the New American Standard Bible. It's the only Bible, I think, that conveys that tense. Now, I might be wrong, but I know several versions that do not give it. Here what it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. What tense is it, shall have been?
Past
tense. It's done deal. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatever you bind or whatever you lose on earth, it's already done deal in heaven. That simply tells me that the heavenly powers are involved at that very moment. Can we process this in our finite mind? We take it by faith. We must take it by faith. The church will be victorious on this territory occupied by enemy. We must believe and trust what the Lord has said to us, what He had given to us. And one of the reasons we are powerless, because we really don't grasp this, or we don't fully believe in it. And if you take a look at John chapter 20, somebody read for us. John chapter, let me read to you from the same version. John chapter 20, verse 23. You could just still hold on to Matthew, but open John chapter 20, verse 23. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, then sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. This is a similar passage. And the same tense. It was not by mistake that Jesus pronounced what He said in that very tense. Now, Jesus did not leave us helpless on this planet. You know that. When He ascended to heaven, He knows that we are on the enemy's territory. He had given us the keys of the kingdom of power. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth have been given to me. And He gave us the keys of the kingdom. It is the only keys that fit to the king, to the lock of the kingdom of power. That's the only key. There's no other key. One that can fit, He gave it to us. You see, when the devil injected sin into human race, the kingdom of heaven was utterly shut against men. The door was shut and he was locked out. The death came as a result of sin. And this was the devil's plan, that mankind would be shut up and locked in death. But Jesus Christ came down from heaven with the keys of the kingdom of heaven and placed them in the hands of humanity and opened the way, the access again to the kingdom of heaven for man and woman. Then Jesus went into the very prison house of death, the devil's stronghold. And when he came out from there, he took the keys of death with him. He basically ripped it off from the hands of Satan. And that's why in Revelation 1:18 we could read, Jesus is saying, I hold the keys of death and Hades. You know why? He took it away from Satan. Amen. Now, Jesus went back to heaven and took the keys of death with him. But he left the keys of the kingdom in the hands of humanity, his followers. He gave them the power to be the sons and daughters of God again. And Jesus took out of the hands of the devil the power to shut humanity away from the kingdom of heaven. And that includes our wayward children as well. Or anyone in your family who is wandering from the Lord.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
And we are now, my friends, we are the link in the chain thrown down from heaven for the salvation of man. We are to claim people for God's kingdom, praying for them and claiming them. So, one more thing I'm going to add here in Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And let's read verse 15, from 15. Listen to the context now. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. This is a principle that many don't even follow today. That's why there's so many people leaving the churches. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you. Don't go around and talk to people about the God without talking to him first. So that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Only then. And then verse 18, very interesting. Truly I say to you, and by the way, Jesus is employing again the I pronoun. We're going to touch on this probably sometime in future. Why and where Jesus pronouncing the I pronoun, using I pronoun. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I think we met the quota today, and we're going to be agreeing on all the prayer requests. But I want to focus now on verse 18. If you could see that this is the identical verse that we read in chapter 16, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 16, verse 18. It's the same saying that Jesus is using here. Now, if Jesus repeats something twice, what does it mean?
Important.
How much is important if he repeats twice? And then he is using the I pronoun and says, truly I say to you, when he said it second time. Very important, right? So whenever Jesus employs the I pronoun, it is in order to impress us with his power, which he exerts on behalf of all who believe. This is the same I pronoun that is in Revelation, that is at the burning bush when he speaks to Moses. It is God who is speaking. Now with the keys that Jesus is giving to us comes also the authority. And in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, there are two different categories of binding. In Matthew 16, he is giving us the keys against the powers of darkness. In Matthew 18, he is giving us the keys against the powers in human flesh. It's in the context. So, now we're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence.
Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, everything. I hope you're hearing this verse in connection with Matthew 16 and 18. So, I don't know, we have so many stories to share how God was responding as we were taking the keys of the kingdom, the whole of the keys of the kingdom. And it was the most desperate situations, you know. But we don't only have to use it when we're desperate. We can use it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we're probably not going to have time for the stories, but it was when I used to work in a Christian center, I had the boss had changed, and boy, the situation for me was getting hotter and hotter as I was ready to quit. I really was ready to quit, lose everything. And my wife mentioned as we were praying for her, using the keys of the kingdom, how two of her bosses were fired as a result, very shortly after we prayed. And She says, before you quit, let's pray this prayer again. And we took hold of the keys of the kingdom again. And guess what? One day I came back to work. I was ready to quit. Then I was thinking, considering to use all my vacation hours just to be free from the presence of this individual, you know. And I was not a godly man. And I'm sorry to tell, but when I came back to work one morning, it was announced that the person was fired. Wow. And God had confirmed a number of times that he is standing behind his word when he gives us the keys of the kingdom. And we actually can use those keys in any situation. And when you pray this prayer for your children, for example, you have wayward children. I actually have this entire seminar, Claim Your Children Back, presenting this in churches. And I'm sharing with you just a little portion, one of the tools, one of the ammunitions that God had gave us to claim back our loved ones to himself. This is only one out of six tools that we have in the seminar. So, you could actually take hold of the keys of the kingdom. You could turn it, pray to God, and you actually can ask God to bind Satan and his agencies from having access to your loved ones and to yourself. You could bind the evil people yourself as well. You know, some people may be bolder than I, but whatever you do, I would always use the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus, because that name has power and the enemy is trembling at his name. And whatever you say using the name of Jesus, you could visualize that the enemy is trembling just at the sound of that name of Jesus. And I would encourage everyone, even when we pray any prayer, we should never miss the name of Jesus, that we would pray in his name. Anyway, you pray those prayers, believe that God is hearing you, claim your children back, and in the meantime, be at peace. When you pray, pray by faith that God is hearing and he is at work already, because he said, whatever you bind on earth, it is not due in heaven. You will see this. You will see it. And if you don't, if you continue to be sad because you don't see any actions on the part of God yet, your children away from the Lord, if you continue to be sad, here's what's going to be happening. Unknowingly, we are sending the message to our wayward children and the loved ones by being sad and unhappy. We're telling to them that, son, daughter, you have made a right choice by leaving the church, because God cannot keep people happy. That's what we actually do unknowingly. Our happiness does not depend on anything except knowing and trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. So, be at peace. If we don't, we're going to be just like disciples in their despair and misery. When you remember when Jesus rose from the dead? Let's turn quickly here to Mark chapter 16 as we conclude. Mark chapter 16. Very interesting passage here. If we don't believe, here's what we are going to go through. Matthew 16. Mark chapter 16. This is you remember when verse 9 it says that Jesus appeared to Mary, and then verse 10, she went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. You're hearing it. They were mourning and weeping while Jesus was alive. When they heard that he was alive and they had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. So they choose misery instead of belief. That's where we're going to end up, just like disciples, if we refuse to believe. So then he appeared to two other people, his disciples, on the road to the Emmaus, and they came and reported they refused to believe them as well. They choose misery instead of belief, and then he came and rebuked them. Wow. We better believe at once. If Jesus says something, let's take him by faith, his word by faith, and we will see things come through what he had said. Amen? As we are going to be praying, let's pray with expectation today.
Amen.
That God is hearing and he is acting upon it. Because in Matthew 18, we just read, in Matthew 18, we read this. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So, my friends, we have a privilege today to be in the presence of Jesus. And he is willing and ready to hear our petitions and praises. Let's begin with praises because he truly deserves all the praises. Amen?
Amen.
Let's begin with praises. Then we'll have the prayer requests. And then we will close with a prayer. I know that this will last long. I am probably going to close the YouTube. Any praises?